Blog Talk Radio.
This is the truthaboutchurch.com. We are a Christian lifestyle network. Here you will find the latest in Christian news, scripture, themes that affect the Christian world, and sound teaching. Find out what God has for you here. Enjoy the ride.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Ted Colbert. I'm an elder at a church in Chicagoland, Greater Chicagoland. And I have a teaching today that's called A Change in Form that I hope will bless you and perhaps show you some things that maybe you had not entertained or thought about before. Would you pray with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you're in full control, that you work with all things after the counsel of your own will. Father God, we thank you that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Father, I declare and decree that I would decrease, that thou mightest be increased on this afternoon. I declare and decree that all those under the sound of my voice will receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Lord God, your word says that thou art the God that doest wonders. And Lord, your word says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel that only doeth wondrous things. Father God, we're thanking you right now that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Father God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name this afternoon. Amen. Title of my message is A Change in Form. A Change in Form. We're going to start at Romans 12, 1 through 2 in the KJV, and it reads thusly. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, you have to know what it's there for. Therefore is a pointer word in the originality of the text in Greek. And when you see words like therefore, wherefore, nevertheless, therein, wherein, whenever you see a verse begin with one of those words, it's telling you to read the previous verses. And the previous verses will lead into that verse and will lend clarity to that verse. Okay? So they say here, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it says, I beseech ye therefore. So because we see that interesting word therefore, and I said earlier that you got to know what it's there for when you see it, it's telling you to go back. But in this particular case, this is really wonderful to me. It's telling you to go all the way back to the first chapter of Romans. The mercies of God that we are being besought by, the mercies of God are elucidated from Romans 1:18 to Romans 11. So the mercies of God and the therefore are telling us to go back through from Romans 1:18 to Romans to the end of Romans 11, and the mercies of God will be evident in each of those chapters. And that's why the mercies that they're beseeching you by are the mercies that you see in each of those chapters. I find that very, very interesting because that's something I really never heard before. But as I prayed over this and studied, I understood that the therefore there was not taking you back to the last verse in chapter 11, but it was actually taking you all the way back to Romans 1:18, starting, I believe, at 1:19, and you will see throughout all those scenarios in Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc., you will see the mercies of God elucidated in every chapter. Amen? It says to present your body a living sacrifice. The word present, by the way, the New Testament is written in Greek originally. The word present is a long word in the Greek that I'm not going to bore you with, but it means to stand beside or to exhibit. So when you're presenting your body, the basic idea here is that you are willingly giving yourself up for God. It says a living sacrifice. Years ago, I heard a couple of things I really found rather humorous and entertaining. There was a pig and a chicken walking down the street, and they saw a restaurant, and it said, free bacon and eggs served here. So the pig and the chicken looked at each other, and the chicken said, I got an idea, pig. Let's help them out. I'll give them some eggs, and you give them some bacon, and that way they'll take care of what they want to do. And the pig stopped for a minute and thought, and he said, wait a minute. He said, yeah, you can give them eggs. That's not going to do nothing to you. But if I give them bacon, I'll be a living sacrifice. Then there was a story about little Susie. The pastor had just got through teaching on what I'm teaching on here, Romans 12, about the living sacrifice. And so she got an idea. As they were passing the offering plate around, she took the offering plate as it was being passed around, took it, stood in the middle of the aisle, and stood in the middle of the offering plate. And everybody said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm standing in the offering plate because I'm a living sacrifice. So, it says to present your body. I find it interesting that it's actually the presentation of your body that puts you in position to do the things that you see in the second verse where you are transformed from the inside out. It's interesting that as you look at this, when they talk about the presentation, it's actually the presentation of your body, of your own free will, to the will of God that actually puts you in a position to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The 12 and 1 here, they talk about the living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable unto God, and it's your reasonable service. As I mentioned earlier, when you see all the mercies of God elucidated from Romans 1 to Romans 11, and you see how much God loves you and all he's done for you, you have no choice but to present your body. The presentation of your body results in a transformed life. Reasonable service is better translated spiritual worship here. So when it says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy acceptable God unto God, which is your reasonable service, that's better translated, which is your spiritual worship. The word beseech here is the Greek word parakaleo, which means to call near or call to one side. Amen? Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to stop right there. This conformed and transformed is what is called the present passive tense. Form and transform are in the original Greek. The present tense, this is the tense that's saying that this is something that's being done constantly in a present time. And passive, the passive part of that tense means that something's being done to you. So when you're being conformed, you're constantly being conformed, and something is bringing about the confirmation in you. And the word transformed means that you're constantly being transformed, and something is transforming you because it's passive. If it's a passive tense, something's being done to you. If it's the active tense, then you're the one that's doing something. Amen? The tense here better translates as stop being conformed and continue being transformed. What I love about this in the second verse, it's God tells us what to do and what not to do. It tells us not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? The word conformed in Greek is a long Greek word. It's suskematizo, spelled S-U-S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. This kind of long word refers to the act of an individual assuming an outward expression that does not come from within him, that is not representative of his inner life. The focus here in this word is on the external. Thayer says this word means to fashion oneself or one's mind and character to another's pattern. The saint who has laid themselves on God's altar to present their body will not be conformed to the world. We as saints are not molded from something outside, but we're molded from something inside. Hallelujah. So it's not the outside working on us outside and going inside, but it's what's inside that's being expressed outside. As I studied this, I saw the idea was as if we were being poured into the mold of the world. If you take molten metal or liquid metal and pour it into a mold, when it cools and hardens, you look like the mold. If you look at the Greek word, you can see the word schematic in that Greek word, suskematizo. We get our English word schematic from this word. The world has a schematic diagram that it wants you to adhere to. It's got a mold that it wants to pour you into. Now, the scary thing is that the book of Romans is written to the church. So they're talking about the saints when they talk about the possibility of being conformed to the world. So Paul here is saying that saved people can allow themselves by looking at the things of the world, wanting the things of the world, wanting to be like the world, to be poured into the mold of the world and look just like the world. The world here that they're talking about is that exists outside the realm of God, that arena where the devil is God. Okay? So the enemy wants to pour you into his mold. So what they're saying here is you're still saved on the inside, but you're acting like and looking like the world on the outside as the devil is trying to pour you into his mold of the world. That's why we have to stay in our Bible so that we can be transformed. We see here we have two choices. We can conform to the world or be transformed by the word of God. The Greek word for transform is metamorpho, M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. We get, of course, our English word metamorphosis from this word. Look at the dictionary. This word metamorphosis means to change to another form or a change of character. The caterpillar metamorphosizes into a butterfly. It changes. Now, it's the same entity all along. The caterpillar, it goes into the chrysalis or the pupa, and then when it comes out, it's a butterfly. It's the same entity. It looks different on the outside, but it's the same stuff inside. It's the same stuff inside, but it changes inside the cocoon or the pupa or the chrysalis. Amen? God can make the butterfly inside of you come out via his word as you're transformed. The caterpillar that enters the pupa stage eventually comes out, but it looks nothing like it did before when it comes out. The Holy Spirit changes us like the caterpillar is changed inside of the pupa. The Bible will transform you.
Amen. The Bible will metamorphosize you, if you will. The Bible as the transformation takes place, the Bible makes the wife beater stop beating his wife. Hallelujah. The transformation, the metamorphosis works for you to show you that this change in you that God has done from the inside out is bringing about a change inside that is seen on the outside. Amen. Now, as we go, I'm going to go to my second scripture now. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. I'm going to read this to you in the KJV first. I'm going to have a few different versions that I'm going to be showing you. But it reads thusly, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. This verse is telling us that we are changed by the word of God as we read it. This is why all of the men and women of God tell us to read the Bible every day, because it makes us more like God. As the word is read, we see the glory of God. It can save the sinner. As I mentioned, it makes the wife beater stop hitting his wife. It makes the crackhead put down his pipe. It makes the prostitute get off the corner, because we're going to see more about this transformation thing in this verse also. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the International Standard Version, says, "As all of us reflect the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces, we are becoming more like him with ever-increasing glory by the Spirit." I like the fact that what this is basically saying is we're going from glory to glory. We're going up the steps. We're going from one level of glory to the next level of glory, and all this is done just by reading your Bible. It's like climbing a ladder, amen? We get more glory. We go from one step of glory to the next step of glory as we read. The Message Bible says, "Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." As you read the Bible and you see all the great power of God and the great things that Jesus did and the things that God did, and is still doing as a matter of fact, you become more like him. 2 Corinthians, starting in 2 Corinthians 3:7, that the word tells us that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the glory of Moses for the glory of his countenance. Moses had been on the mountain. He communed with God. Being in God's presence caused Moses' face to shine. Exodus 34:30-33 tells us that when Moses came to talk to the people, the glow was so strong on his face that it scared the people, so he put a veil on his face. We as saints have nothing blocking the glory that hits us from the word. It mentions beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord. This is spiritual. So we behold with the eye of our understanding, the eye of faith. The Bible talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the word glass in Greek is Kaptrizo, spelled K-A-T-O-P-T-R-I-Z-O, and it means to mirror or reflect. This word comes from the Greek word katoprotan, which means a mirror. This is a combination in the Greek. Kata means against or down, and optanomai means to be seen. So it is seen against or beholding. We are changed into the image of the glory of God. The word image here is the Greek word icon. Hallelujah. You'll hear talk about icons in the world of technology, in the world of entertainment. They'll talk about icons, singers or actors, people that are held in high esteem, and they're called icons. The Greek word here is spelled E-I-K-O-N, and we get our English word icon from that word image in Greek. This word means a figure or a likeness. We were made in God's image in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, but sin tainted that image to the point that when Seth was born, in Genesis 5, 3, it said that Adam has had a son in his own image after his likeness. What happened to being in God's likeness? We are changed back by the word of God into the image of the glory of God by the word, restored back to the way we were at first. Hallelujah. Isn't that not? It says that we are transformed into that image by the glory of God. The glory of God alone does it. I mentioned earlier, this is that same Greek tense for transformed. It's that same present passive tense I mentioned earlier. I'll tell you again, present means that something is being done constantly in the present time, and passive means that it's being done to you. So that's the present passive tense, which means that being transformed, as we read in one of the translations that I shared earlier, it told us that this is a gradual process as we read the Bible. Hallelujah. So you're not going to be metamorphosized immediately, but it's a gradual process as you read the Bible. As I mentioned, the word metamorpho in the Greek means to change form. You get the English word metamorphosis from that word. Meta here means with, and morpho means changing form. It's changing form to be in keeping with inner reality. So this word really means change after being with. Meta means with. Morpho means to change. Wow. So being with God via the word causes a change in you via the Spirit, because you've been with him as you read the word. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm liking it. It says that we all with open faith behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The word open here in Greek is anakalypto, which can mean I unveil, I uncover. Ana means up, kalypto means to cover. Anakalypto is a combination word in the Greek. Metamorpho, which I just taught, is also a combination word in the Greek. You've got two words put together to make one. Kalypto means to cover, veil, hide, or keep secret. Thus, the picture of this word, anakalypto, is to raise up, which causes an uncovering. We are gradually being changed into the image of his glory as we read. Now, I like that because since it's a gradual change, you're probably not even aware of what's going on as you read the word. But the Bible also tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not only is your faith built up as you read the word of God, but you're transformed into the image of the glory of God also as you read the word of God. So spiritual stuff is happening when you read your Bible. There is no other book in the world like the word. No other book, no self-help book, no book of any sort can change you like the word. And I love the beauty of the fact that, as I mentioned, one of the translations told us that it's a gradual change. Hallelujah. You know, you may read the word for 15 minutes in a day or 20 minutes in a day. Don't think it's entrapping. But I dare you to keep reading about it. I dare you. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is as we talk about we're changing to the image of his glory as we read, that image of the glory is nothing but a down payment. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So the taking us from glory to glory spiritually is just a down payment for what's going to happen in reality in 1 John 3:2. Once we reach heaven, we're going to be like him, completely like him, and we shall be able to see him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. So that's why I said that this is just a down payment, because this glory to glory and being transformed and all that, that's spiritual. But then when you get to heaven, it's going to be the same thing that's going to happen in the natural. So what we're reading in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is just a down payment for the changing into God's glory all around us that we're going to get when we get to heaven. That's when the outside of us will catch up to what the Word has been doing on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:21, one of my favorite verses, reads, thusly, this is the KJV. It says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Just as in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we have a pledge that the change will be completed in glory. So 1 Corinthians 3:18 KJV says, "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." I say that that's a pledge or a down payment, because that's going on the inside. All this going from one step of the ladder in glory to another step. When we get to heaven, that which has happened on the inside is going to be manifested on the outside. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." Did you know that as you read the Bible and you read about Joshua looking up and saying, "Sun, stand thou still in the valley of Ajalon," and the sun, the Bible said the sun hasted not to go down for a whole day until Joshua could be avenged of his enemy. He just decreed and the sun stayed where it was, didn't go down for a whole day. When you read that kind of stuff in the Word of God and you see God's power manifested in his Word, it makes you more like him. It transforms you into the image or the icon of God. That's how come sometimes when we read the Word, sometimes we cry, sometimes we get excited, because a slow transformation is taking place. See, that's why I said, you know, when you read the Word here and you see the things in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that it makes the wife beater stop beating his wife, because the wife beater gets saved and his behavior gradually changes, so that what God has done on the inside, we see manifested on the outside. So I think I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that we're being transformed by the Word of God. Just like the caterpillar changes into the butterfly, or the tadpole changes into the frog, that's the same transformation that's happening to us on the inside. And I like the fact that actually the caterpillar is the butterfly. It's the same entity, but he's been changed. Hallelujah. He's been changed into another image. And if you notice, once the butterfly has been metamorphosized, the butterfly don't hang out with the caterpillars anymore. I find it interesting that when the caterpillar metamorphosizes into the butterfly, now it can fly. It doesn't go back down to the ground or to the tree and inch up the tree like it did when it was a caterpillar, because even though it's the same entity, it's changed. Might I say that its mindset has changed? It's got wings now, and it can fly. The metamorphosis does something to the thought process, if you will, of the caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. The same thing happens with us when we are transformed, metamorphosized, if you will, by the Spirit of God, as we taught in Romans 12 and in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I pray that this teaching has shared some things with you and shown you some things that maybe you didn't know before. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that I taught only those things that became sound doctrine on this afternoon. Father, I pray that I did decrease, that thou mightest have been increased on tonight, on this afternoon, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the power of God on the right hand and on the left. I thank you, Lord God, that your power is seen in the sanctuary. I thank you, Lord, for the change that your word brings about. And, Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. God bless you. I hope that you were encouraged on today by the word.